The Piano Matters is supported by Jacobs Music in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, the area representative of Steinway & Sons for new and previously owned Steinway pianos. More information is available at jacobsmusic.com. And here we are, The Piano Matters. I'm your host, David Duball. So happy to be with you. I really am. I welcome you to some awfully fine piano music and to some fine artists who will play it for us. Hope all's well with you. I hope the springtime gives you more energy. My energy in the winter can be awfully down, especially if it goes below freezing. On our show, I have some Beethoven, Debussy celebrated Claire de Lune, and much more for your delectation. Let's open with the wonderful sonata in D minor by Scarlatti K, 141. It's a tremendous piece of repeated notes, and it took a long time for the piano to be able to play the notes fast enough, and it needed to have the Erard double mechanism of 1822 to make this happen. It's easy to play the repeated notes on the harpsichord, but not on the piano. So let's have a performance by Alpen Hong. He made his orchestral debut when he was only like 9 or 10 years old, and he won the Concert Artists Guild competition, and I remember him very well from my classes at Juilliard. A really wonderful personality, a big personality. Here he is, Scarlatti's D minor sonata. Thank you. Yes, that was Scarlatti and the famous D minor sonata in repeated notes. It's often called a toccata. Well, the excellent pianist Alpen Hong, who returns later in the program. This is The Piano Matters. I'm your commentator and programmer, David Dubal. Have you ever read Samuel Butler's The Way of All Flesh? I read it last summer, a remarkable piece of writing from 1903. And he says, the advantage of doing one's praising for oneself is that one can lay it on so thick and exactly in the right places. Very good. Well, you know, we don't get enough compliments, so we must praise ourselves. And I praise myself, even if I'm alone, 3 to 7 times an hour. Try it. Shall we continue with the pianism of the young pianist Yuni Han? And she'll play Liszt's delightful, frothy Valse Impromptu. Here she is.
Thank you.
Yuni-han doing a good job in this so sophisticated waltz that he called Valse Impromptu. And it was played by Yuni-han, and she was born in South Korea, and Yuni is in the process of developing her career like Alpen Hong. I know her from my classes at Juilliard, and especially remember her performance of Schumann's Carnival. The show is titled The Piano Matters, heard each week. If you are in Berlin or Dublin, you can listen on WWFM.org. Here's from Child Harold's Pilgrimage by Lord Byron. It was written from 1812 to 1818, and it made Lord Byron the most famous of living poets. He says, "Dark Sappho, could not verse immortal save that breast imbued with such immortal fire? Could she not live who life eternal gave?" Franz Liszt was a truly Byronic character, and he was an indefatigable transcriber. He rose every day at 5 p.m., took Mass, and began writing and living his day of endless variety. Liszt was the first to understand Schubert, to love him deeply, and he brought him to Europe in every possible concert he gave. Liszt must have lamented that Schubert wrote no piano concertos. So he took Schubert's masterly wanderer fantasy and scored it for piano and orchestra. Yes, it's seldom played. Why, I don't know. It's certainly effective. A very fine pianist is Joshua Pierce, and he's a real explorer of the neglected. We're going to have him as soloist in the first movement of Schubert's Wanderer Fantasy. Paul Freeman conducts the Moscow State Philharmonic. Paul Freeman conducting the first movement of Schubert's 1822 Wonder of Fantasy with soloist Joshua Pierce. Dear listener, have you ever heard this version? I'm your host, David Dubal, and it's The Piano Matters. Yes, we need your financial help. So if you can, give in some abundance, what you can, what you may. Our station is surely a worthy cause. It gives such pleasure to so many. In 1816, Byron wrote stanzas for music. This life haunts me. There's not a joy the world can give like that it takes away. Here is another Byron. So we'll go no more a-roving. So late into the night, though the heart be still as loving and the moon be still as bright. Speaking of the moon, let's return to Alpen Hong, who opened The Piano Matters with Scarlatti, and he is now going to play for us The Moon, and he turns to the world-famous Moonlight called Clair de Lune by the master of Impressionism, Claude Debussy. Claire de Lune, played by Alpen Hong, is from Debussy's delightful 1890 suite Bergamasque. Here is a grain from Chopin's genius, the prelude number 7 in A major, opus 28. How many thousands of pianists played it? Although Moritz Rosenthal, great pianist, once said, "It took me 60 years to play these seconds the way I wanted." I think that says something on many levels. I don't know how long Anne Shine has worked on the fragile skeletonized mazurka, but we shall hear her performance of the little A major, prelude opus 28, number 7. Anne Shine played for you the 7th prelude from the immortal set of 24, opus 28, each in one major and minor key. If I should meet thee after long years, how should I greet thee? With silence and tears. That was one more little phrase from the poetry of George Gordon, Lord Byron. Have you ever read, I know that I read a lot, but have you ever read the 3-volume Marchand biography of Lord Byron? Let's taste another performance by Yuni Han. We hear Godofsky's arrangement of Albanus's famous Tango in D. Thank you. I thought Yuni Han played the Gadovsky in a very beautiful manner, and it's a sophisticated arrangement. The piece is very, very skeleton-like, but Gadovsky puts those little lapidary harmonies so beautifully built. If you like it, you like it. Some people think it's just not necessary. I'm David Dubal, happy to be with you for another edition of The Piano Matters. Bacon said, Caesar had rather be first in a village than second at Rome. Debussy had no formal education at all, except, of course, his music studies at the Paris Conservatory. Yet he was among the most cultured of artists. He was always at the Louvre. His eyes were hungry to turn painting into the invisibility of sound. One day he was looking at a Japanese lacquer with goldfish in varied attitudes. Soon he would write his Poisson d'Or, Goldfish. It's a magnificent poem of atmosphere. Listen for those golden aquatics. Gieseking, great Debussy interpreter, is heard, and I hope he enchants you, for he does me. You just heard Poisson d'Or, the goldfish, from the set called Image by Claude Achilles Debussy. What a beautiful performance. So subtle, so well, you can just see those goldfish gliding. And Debussy, the most subtle of tone poets. So Gieseking and Debussy is a wonderful match. This is The Piano Matters. I'm David Dubal. Each week there's a repeat of the show, and I'd be blessed if you listen to both. So much more can come to life. Beethoven's fifth sonata, Opus 10, number 1, is the first of his three sonatas using the C minor tonality. The Opus 10, number 1 was probably composed from 1796 through 97. A Beethoven interpreter that I've always loved, I call her the earth mother of Beethoven playing, Maria Grinberg. Here she is in the first movement of Opus 10, number 1.
Thank you.
You heard the fifth sonata by the great Beethoven, and it was played so well, so intensely, by the Earth Mother, I call her, Maria Grinberg, born in 1908, and she had a very difficult life in the Soviet Union. That wonderful early English photographer, Julia Margaret Cameron, 1815-1879, wrote, "I longed with my camera to arrest all beauty that came before me." Walter Gieseking returns for a performance of a very early work of Debussy. It's called Valse Romantique. I think that Gieseking plays it better, in my opinion at least, than anyone I've ever heard. Valse Romantique, Claude Debussy, 1862, and he died in 1918. The insinuating Valse Romantique by Debussy in the velvet paws of Walter Gieseking. As you all know, I love quotes, and here's another one. Everything's got a moral if you can only find it. Yep, that's from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Liszt, of course, wrote his 19 Hungarian Rhapsodies, but he also wrote a large-scale piece called The Spanish Rhapsody. He was one of the first great pianists to tour extensively in Spain, and he loved it. This is a 14-minute piece, and Ferruccio Busoni, that great Listian, saw the possibilities of transcribing it for piano and orchestra. Well, he did so, and we're going to start from the conclusion, beginning with a cadenza. Let's listen to Joshua Pierce again with Paul Freeman conducting the Moscow State Philharmonic, The Spanish Rhapsody, by Franz Liszt.
Thank you.
I thought it was quite effective, the final section of Liszt's Spanish Rhapsody, Rhapsody Español, performed with some zing, I thought, by Joshua Pierce. Paul Freeman was conducting in the Busoni adaptation for piano and orchestra. Please, won't you join me next week, same time, same station, for another edition of The Piano Matters. Here is from a letter of 1888, and it's by Paul Gauguin, the great painter. He says, I'll give you a hint. Don't paint too much directly from nature. Art is an abstraction. Study nature, then brood on it, and treasure the creations which will result, which is the only way to ascend towards God, to create like our divine master. This is David Dubal. Thank you for listening. Matters is a production of the Classical Network. It is recorded at the Kaufman Music Center, home of Merkin Concert Hall, 129 West 67th Street in New York City. The producer, Rachel Katz. For a playlist, go to wwfm.org, click on Classical, and choose Search Playlists. The Piano Matters is made possible with the support of the listener members of the Classical Network.